I want to tell you what happened to me last night when I was going across the Jimmie Davis Bridge to meet up with Daryl and Lucretia. Just as I was rising, coming up, and getting on the bridge, I looked. I think there was one cloud in the sky, and it was about the size of a man's hand. And I heard the Lord say, "Declare today that I see a cloud over the sea about the size of a man's hand. But I hear the sound of the abundance of rain." Now, what I want to say to you about that is that's in 1 Kings chapter 18. And the context is critical. We've heard messages out of this verse or two, most of us, most of our lives. But the context is critical. Because when Elijah said, "I see a cloud about the size of a man's hand, but I can hear the sound of the abundance of rain," he said it in the context of just having closed up, by the word of the Lord, closed up the heavens for 3.5 years. There's been, in fact, here's exactly what the scripture says. No rain and not even any dew.
Wow. That's dry. Mm-hmm.
Now, some say 3 years. That's not what Jesus said. Jesus said in Luke chapter 4, verses 25 and 26. He spoke about Elijah, and he said, "Elijah closed up the heavens for 3.5 years. 42 months. No rain, no dew for 42 consecutive months." That was the context. Worst famine in human history. That was the context. Now, I'm prophesying to you today the worst drought in human history. That's the context that God puts a word in Elijah's heart and mouth about a cloud that's only the size of a man's hand. Is that a little cloud? That's a small cloud. But he said, "I hear the sound of the abundance of rain." Some of you, if not many of you, have been in a long season of drought.
Oh, yes.
But I see a cloud about the size of a man's hand, and I can hear the sound of the abundance of rain today. I hear the rain coming. I see the rain. You can smell a rain when it's on the way. You don't have to have anybody tell you it's about to rain. When the conditions get just right, you can feel the rain coming. You can smell the rain coming. You can see the clouds beginning to blacken and darken. They're so heavily laden with this precious substance called rain. Now, I'm saying this to you today because I want you to take hope. Don't let your burdens become your barrier. Don't allow your burdens to become your barrier. If you can't see, I'm about to say something that's critically important to you and to me. If you can't see past your circumstance, you're not going to see the provision of the Lord. Doesn't mean it's not coming. Doesn't mean it's not on the way. It just means you won't mix your faith with in the anticipation of its arrival. It's coming. It's coming. The four lepers were sitting by the city gate. And do you remember what? Do you remember what? One of them finally had the good sense to say to all of them. Come on.
Why sit we here and die?
Are we going to continue to sit here? I'm going to tell you something. In their case, here was geographical. In their case, here was geographical. But it was much more than geographical. Because we can be in the right geography with the wrong mindset and still miss what God is doing.
Amen.
Because the wrong mindset will blind us to what God is doing. We won't be actively engaged in what God is doing.
Amen.
So one of the lepers finally said, we can't go into the city. I mean, they're eating donkey dung. I mean, I don't think that qualify for gourmet or five star. Donkey dung stew.
Some countries.
Horse heads. I mean, they were eating anything that they could to survive. They were just trying to stay alive. So this person said, we can't go into the city because it's just as bad in there as it is right here. But that was the context of the four lepers at the gate. And guess what was just out of view? Wild provision. Not even just abundance. Stupid.
Stupid abundance.
Unreal. Immeasurable. Unfathomable provision. Enough for them and everybody in the city. Enough provision for them and everyone else. And most of those everyone else's, by the way, had rejected them. Most of those everyone else's had already ostracized them and pushed them out. Didn't want to have anything to do with them. And that's why they were outside the city gate. And you remember the story. As soon as they got there, and it dawned on them the magnitude of provision, they said, it's not right for us to just have this when the people...
That's right.
See? I hear the sound of the abundance of rain. You hear what the Lord is saying this morning? Don't let your burden become a barrier. See past that. Lift your eyes. Lift up your eyes. Set your affection on things above, not on things of this world. Or on the earth. And when you do, here's the way it works. In Acts chapter 2, it says, when the day of Pentecost had fully come. No, I'm sorry. Revelation chapter 4. That wasn't even close, was it? I knew a man 14 years ago in the body. I don't know if I'm in the body or out of the body. Revelation chapter 4. John said, he heard a voice speaking or talking to him. A sound. He heard a sound. On the day of Pentecost, they heard a sound.
Right.
A sound that sounded like a mighty rushing wind. You know what the word sound is in the Greek? E-C-H-O. You know what an echo is? You've been in a place where you could yell out something and that sound would, as it were, come back to you in the form of an echo. When they, on the day of Pentecost, heard this echo, it was an echo, which means the sound emitted from a remote location. They heard the echo. This sound of the abundance of rain is because God is releasing a word over you on this day. Don't let your burden become a barrier. Look well beyond your circumstances.
Amen.
See the goodness of God. See the face of Jesus Christ. See His complete and full provision for your life. I can promise you this. Whatever you're going through today is momentary. I love the Amplified Bible where it says, this momentary light affliction. Momentary and light. And there comes a time that we look back and we say, in the big picture, that was momentary and that was light. So, I believe the Lord is saying to you, Jesus said, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I see a cloud the size of a man's hand, but I hear the sound of the abundance of rain. Take heart, dear ones. Take heart in the goodness of God today. You say, you know, I've heard these kinds of words before, and it just doesn't work for me. Well, okay. Then, hey, Jesus, do you hear what that person said? Come on, Lord. Come on, Lord. Let it work for them this time.
Amen.
Give them a testimony this time.
Yes.
And when it does, they will say, I remember the day I said, this stuff doesn't work for me. But look where we are today. Look what's happened to us today. I believe that's all that I'm supposed to share. And I want to say to you that we are absolutely 100% delighted to have Dan Fox with us. Dan is a treasure. He's a cherished son of God. And we receive him as one who has been sent to us from the Lord. Well, you've been sent too, so we receive you as well. There's no, there's not this hierarchy thing going on that some are more important than others. But the Lord has chosen to send Dan to us on this occasion. So I say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.
Amen.
Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. I love this man. And we've got a very rich history. About eight plus years together. And we've laughed together and we've cried together. And we've been happy together, and we've been sad together. But like Paul said in the jail in Philippi, when the jailer was about to fall on his sword, he said, "Do yourself no harm. We are all still here." So here we are, Dan.
Yes. Well, good morning.
Good morning.
It's great to be with you from Pennsylvania, traveling from Pennsylvania, known as I'm not bragging about where I live, where I reside, but the Keystone State. And I really believe that Pennsylvania holds a place in the plans of God. Because I'm going to bless you today with the thoughts of the intent of our founder. His name is William Penn. And William Penn founded Pennsylvania, and I stumbled on it. I was doing there was some type of rally, and I was asked to come, and I ended up praying and prophesying over the whole educational system of Pennsylvania. There were various leaders from the state. It was a big government thing with senators, and there were all these kind of people there. And I looked up on the ceiling, and it read, Pennsylvania, the holy experiment of God to be a seed to the nations. For the nations want a precedent. let us do what is wise and just. And when I saw that, I said, man, Pennsylvania is supposed to be a seed to the nations, you know, to take the gospel out. So that seed resides in me, is what I'm trying to say to you. It doesn't mean the state that you all reside in, or up where I live, we say Yuns, where Yuns live. What's a Yun? It's like two Utes. But the promise that Penn prophesied. So right now that is me being here today from Pennsylvania. I want to see God's seed deposited. And one last thing, and I'll get right into the word that God has laid on my heart to share today with you guys. Is that number one? I want to thank Michael and Melinda for hosting me and having me. It's like family, and when I come here with you guys, I feel like I'm with family. And thank you so much for all. I wouldn't be where I am today without Michael in my life and Melinda. I would not be where I'm at. I went many, many years. You all know, most of you know my story. I was not really ever told I was loved by my father. Until 2 weeks, or about 3 weeks maybe, before he died. I wasn't allowed to, I had no hugs, nothing like that. So God had to transform my heart and teach me how to love, because I didn't know how to love. All I knew was how to hit people, and it had to be me. But isn't it great what God does?
Yeah.
This is the last thing I want to say before I actually preach. William Penn said this. When he came here to America and he tried to build a relationship with the American Indians, he did. He said, let us see what love will do. Let us see what love will do. He said, I don't come to you with weapons in my pocket. I don't come to you with an agenda. I don't come with a piece of paper for you to sign. He said, I come to you in love and kindness. Do you know if there was a lot more love and kindness, this would be a better place?
Yes.
Everybody's so nasty today.
Yes.
Everybody's so mean. Even the Christians.
All right.
Christians are mean and nasty.
Yep.
Yeah. Same matter, ouch.
That's right.
They're mean and nasty. And kindness, it's the kindness of God that leads to repentance.
Yes.
So Paul said in his epistle to the Romans. So it's the kind acts that we do towards others that actually will bring them to Christ. So we need to learn to be kind. There's too much arguing. Just turn on the television set. You know, and I'm not here to preach anything about politics or talk about politics or anything, but I will make this reference. You know, you got people hang left, you got people hang right, you know. You got the donkey and you got the elephant. But you know what I'm after? The Lamb of God.
Amen.
I want the Lamb of God. I don't want the left agenda. I don't want the right agenda. I have a king.
Amen.
And he sits on high.
Come on.
And he decides what's going to happen on this earth. We need to get aligned with him.
Amen.
We need to start being kind.
Yes.
That's right.
And love.
Amen.
Let us see what love could do. So I bring that to you today. I pray that would be deposited in you. That you would be kind. Well, what I really want to share with you today is I love history. I love to study church history. I love to study history in general. But when you look at history, there are certain things, that characteristics that you see. They are spiritual strongholds. They are sinful strongholds that actually cause a nation to fall. And what I'm here to say, it's not a happy joy thing. But what I'm trying to say to you is the church today doesn't think that God will judge the church. They think God's going to continue to let go on what's going on in the church. I was reading in the book of Genesis chapter 6 and chapter 7 in the days of Noah. It says that the stuff, the way it's translated into Hebrew, is the stuff has come up before me and it is in my face. And I have to do something. And you know the story, and God flooded the earth, and Noah knew 7 days before that he was supposed to go in. He didn't, but he preached for 99 years, didn't have a convert. But yet he made God's Hall of Fame in the book of Hebrews. Then you go to our brother Abraham. God said his descendants will be as numerous as the stars in the sky, and he's a man of prayer. And the Bible tells us in Genesis, you can read that in Genesis 18 and 19, where it talks about Sodom and Gomorrah. Three angelic beings came to explain what God was going to do, and He was going to judge a city. And it tells us in chapter 18, it says, "Shall I hide these things from my people?" God doesn't want us in the dark.
Amen.
You are of the light, not of darkness.
Amen.
I tell you, I'm here today to sound the trumpet.
Come on.
I'm here today to roar like a lion.
Come on.
Pennsylvania has the Nittany Lion. I represent the Lion of Judah. I'm here with a wake-up call, because if America doesn't repent, if America doesn't learn to love and be kind again, this world will never change. So you got Noah, you got Sodom and Gomorrah, and again it tells us in chapter 18 and 19, it says, "And that's come up to my face, I got to do something about it." Let me tell you something. If God doesn't judge America,
Amen.
He will have to apologize for Sodom and Gomorrah
Amen.
And in the days of Noah.
Right.
And we have the answer.
Yes.
The true gospel of the kingdom of God.
Light.
Yes. We have the answer. And heaven is declaring in the book of Revelation. And it tells us also in Peter's epistle in chapter 2. It says, "I'm building a spiritual house." Chapter 1 Peter 2. 5. A spiritual house, a lively house, precious stones built up together. And then in verse 9 it says, "A chosen generation, born again by the Spirit." Chosen. That's our lineage. Then our function, a royal priest.
Yes.
And then it goes on to say, a holy nation. That's what God is doing today. So church, wake up today. Wake up today. And these strongholds that I'm going to tell you about, every nation, from the Babylonians to the Persians to the Greeks, all the way through history, every great nation goes through this. America is not exempt.
Amen.
And I'm going to tell you something right now. If when a man of God or a woman of God preaches, or when someone prophesies, if it doesn't cut you in some way, then it's milquetoast.
Come on.
Amen.
Milquetoast.
Hebrews 4:12 says the Word of God is what? Sharper than any two-edged sword. It cuts in, it cuts out.
That's the soul and the spirit.
I mean, I hear all this stuff all the time. I can hardly watch anything on TV anymore. I can hardly read anybody's books. All they do is prophesy. Where are the prophets today?
Amen.
They're in the days of Jeremiah. It says that Pasquier, the leading priest, slapped him in the face because he wasn't saying you're going to be prosperous, because he wasn't saying that everything was going to be all right, because he wasn't saying harm was coming his way. So they threw him in jail, and they beat him and smacked him in the face because he was prophesying the truth. And I'm here today to tell you right now that you can take this to the bank. God is about to judge America.
Amen.
It's coming.
Yep.
And he's judging Europe, he's judging nations, and in history, if you study history, you will see these five things, or four things. Number one. First thing, let me just say, there will be bloodshed. And I'm gonna appeal to something right here, because I have something I want to say it exactly like I meant to say it. So, okay.
Sorry.
Number one is idolatry. Yeah. Now, we're going to have a little talk. I could be here all day, or after I live, we say, till the cows come home. But I want to get to the point this morning. Number one is idolatry. You say, well, we don't have idols anymore. You think an idol is like a thing that you build? A statue or a Buddha or something like that. No. Anything you put before the Lord is an idol.
That's right.
That means your job can be an idol. Your even your family could be an idol. Any person, place, or thing that you put before God that squeezes God out is an idol. And if you don't have time for God, it's a sure sign that you got idols in your life.
That's right.
So this doesn't just apply to them out there. It applies to us in here. We must get rid of our idols. And everything flows from idolatry. Even when it comes to bloodshed, which really is nothing more than Moloch worship. The abortion industry is worship unto the demonic powers and the devil Moloch, the god of Moloch mentioned in the Old Testament. Okay, and why? Because people say, well, I don't want to be responsible for this child. It's going to affect my career. It's going to affect. Now you're giving in to the idol of money. See, idols are everywhere, and we have to be very careful as believers that we don't get so caught up in idolatry. Sports can be an idol. Just about anything. I'll tell you one of the biggest idols, and I don't have it with me, but Michael has one. Uh-oh. Hey, give me that. This thing.
Yeah.
This thing.
Amen. Oh,
man. You can't even go anywhere without this.
Watch
thing.
Out now. You're
this is one of the biggest idols. It's like, do you know how you feel when you don't have it?
Ouch.
It's like, I have to have this.
Ouch.
You got a computer, you got a TV, you got everything. It's everything. You type me. It's just an all and everything. And even when you go to the airport, you can just put it up. You can order parts. Just put it on the part as long as there's a code. Scan it. Now, how many know this is not good or evil? It's what you do with it. But all I'm trying to say is that it can easily become an idol when you don't have any time to actually spend with the Lord. And if you're not spending time with the Lord, I have news for you. You have idols. So idolatry is number one. Number two is bloodshed. Bloodshed. Now, in the Old Testament, what happened is the people of God would mix Yahweh with Baal. Baal was fertility cult worship, symbolized by the astral pole. The astral pole, which today we see a lot of obelisks. You know, they are actually an ancient fertility cult pagan symbol. But we're not going to go there today. But it was a fertility cult. And basically, when the people of Israel were down below and Moses was up ahead, when Moses came down from the mountain, they were worshiping a golden calf. Now you can read this yourself in Exodus 32:5, where it says this, "Let us have a festival for Jehovah." So when Moses came down, it was so natural for them. They were having it involved sex and orgies, and they had the golden calf, but they called it a festival to Yahweh, to Jehovah, the true God. And they didn't think anything of it because they were mixing the two things. They were mixing the two things. And you think that it's just back there?
That's right.
No, what if Paul? What you mentioned a passage today? It's that 1 Kings 18:20, where Elijah says to the prophets of Baal, he and the people of Israel, he spoke to directly. He said, "How long will you be in between two opinions? If it's the Lord, serve the Lord. If it's Baal, then go with Baal."
That's right.
Make a decision. New Testament, James says, chapter 1. Between verses 4 and 6, it gives you about the instability of a double-minded person. Matthew 5:45, Jesus said, "You cannot serve God and mammon." So we got to get singly focused on the Lord in this season.
Amen.
We've got to actually look inside, see if there's any idols in our life that are hindering us. But also, you need to understand that that's what's going on out there. That's what's going on out there. And back to bloodshed now. The abortion industry, since 1973, there have been 60 million abortions. We're running at about 115,000 a year, and in a year there's 425 million all over the world. But here in America, we don't want to. Preachers don't want to preach about it. Preachers don't want to preach about idols. Preachers don't want to preach about anything because they're afraid of what will happen. And they might not have a job. But I got news for you today. I don't care. And I'll tell you why I don't care, because I belong to Christ.
Amen.
And I only do what He wants me to do.
Right.
And I'm not bought or owned by anybody except the Lord.
Amen.
But I'm just telling you today that God is going to use you in this room to give a trumpet sound, you know, fleeing from our idols. But I wanted to talk to you about bloodshed. I believe it's Leviticus 18:31. Guys, still with me?
Yes.
Yeah.
All right. Someone want to read that for me, please? Then I'll give you a little commentary on it.
Do not give any of your children to be sacrificed to Moloch, for you must not profane the name of God.
Okay.
I am the Lord. Is that correct?
Yep.
Okay. Sorry.
Do not sacrifice. Now, why is he telling them not to sacrifice their kids to Moloch?
Because they were putting him on, they were burning him in the fire.
Right.
Under Moloch's arms.
Because they believed that they would get prosperity or the favor of God by sacrificing their children. Mm-hmm. So, this case, again, you have Yahweh mixing with these pagan, with Moloch. The Amorites called him Malek, but his name was Moloch, and he's the fire god. So what he would do, what they would do is they would bring their children, especially when things were going really bad, they would sacrifice their children, and it would, his hand, Moloch's statue, the idol, would be with his hands outstretched with a hole in the middle of the stomach, and it would be a human body with a bull's head with horns.
Oh, yeah. Ugh.
And they would place the child inside and burn the child to bring prosperity to them, to get the favor of God back in their life. Now, I can give you multiple passages. Jeremiah, I think Jeremiah chapter 7, same thing. It tells you, I did not command you to give your children to Moloch. You know, it's same thing with Baal. But Baal worship still continues today. Just go to any major city or just about any place. You see the sexual immorality, which is our next point. You see it. You see these things all over. It's rampant, and nobody says anything about it anymore.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. No one wants to offend anybody.
That's right.
So when we're talking about Moloch, and I'm just going to share these for those that are taking notes. Jeremiah 7:31 says this: They have built the high places of Topheth in the valley of Ben Hinnom, which is actually Gehenna, is the place. It's a reference from the gospel where they took all the refuge and burned the bodies. That's where they used to do the sacrifice. That's why it's a reference to hell. So he goes on to say, to burn their sons and their daughters in the fire, something I did not command, nor did it ever enter my mind. So why were they sacrificing their children in the first place? Because, see, Jesus shed his blood for our sins. And the enemy always tries to duplicate that.
Yes.
So he loves the shedding of blood, especially the innocent babies. Mm-hmm. You remember how they wiped all the children out when Jesus was born, mm-hmm. from birth up to a certain age? And it's a blood sacrifice. So what I submit to you today is Moloch worship is still alive today.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And Satan loves it. And as long as Christians, I'm not saying we should grab a sign and pick it because our, unless God tells you to, but uh-huh. we have got to be the salt and the light.
Amen.
And we have to fight. Our weapons of our warfare are not carnal. We can work through some governmental type things. We shouldn't allow the harvesting of body parts and things like that of babies. There's actually a market, millions of dollar market, and kind of like a black market that goes under the radar, where if you can get people body parts, and I researched this, some of this stuff. So it's a money-making industry. Just a group like Planned Parenthood, I think they get $50 million a year in reimbursements and monies back to them to be able to, again, work this. So this is a very serious issue with the shedding of blood. Remember when Abraham
was about to offer up his son. Mm-hmm. So you have to understand, if you understand the cultures, it wouldn't be uncommon to actually kill a child. But what does God do?
Yeah.
He steps in. He says, stop. This is not who I am.
Amen.
I'm not like these other guys.
Yes.
Good. He steps in. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so again, idolatry, bloodshed, sexual immorality is a problem. The actual word for immorality is the word fornication, which in the Greek language means porneia, where we get the word pornography. You tell me we're not a pornographic society. Every time you turn on the tube, you can't even watch a ball game without seeing a naked or half-naked person. Okay, sexual immorality. And basically, let me cut to the chase. Any sex outside of the marriage commitment is fornication, is sexual immorality. And God does judge that. Now, today, everybody's like, oh, whatever makes you happy, you live together, guys live with guys. I read an article a little while ago about some guy who wanted to marry his German Shepherd. So he went to Colorado. I heard another story. I don't know what's up in Colorado. some other guy. There's legislation being passed now that pedophilia, that they're saying that that's now a sexual orientation.
Yeah.
That's right.
Okay. Now you tell me what's going on. Where is the trumpet sound from the church?
I know it.
So again, these are the issues that we are up against today. We have idols. We have bloodshed. We have sexual immorality. I don't need to elaborate, but I would tell you this, that it's not just using an Old Testament passage. It's also in the New Testament. You know, like Paul would say, how can you drink the cup of the Lord and drink the cup of the devil?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So it's the same. It's not just something in the Old Testament. We can possibly do the same thing. And Paul warns us.
All mixed together.
So last but not least is a covenant. Covenant breaking. See, what you'll do is you'll find, as you read the major prophets and the minor prophets, you're going to see these four things. You're going to see idolatry, you're going to see bloodshed, you're going to see sexual immorality, and broken covenants. And Israel has to always go back and renew the covenant again and repent, or judgment is coming. Or God, and sometimes they sent the prophets before to warn them, just like God is sending his voices out today to warn people of what is yet to come. But broken covenant. One thing we really need to understand is, I'm assuming that everybody here knows the Lord Jesus Christ. If you know the Lord Jesus Christ, what happened when you accepted him? You went from death to life, from darkness to light,
mm-hmm.
and you became a son of God, son and daughters of God. So you committed your life to him, and when you were baptized, you said, I'm standing up for the Lord. You're saying to the principalities and to everybody, I belong to Jesus, I belong to my Father, and I will not back down in any way, shape, or form. I'm sold out, I'm 100%. So when you make a commitment to the Lord, and then you go back on it. Like, how many know that, how many understand what it is to say, Jesus is my Lord? Yeah. I mean, you can say, I have Jesus to get saved so you can get fire insurance and you can escape hell and get to go to heaven. But do you really understand sonship? Do you really understand that he saved you to be a part of this family? That's a big difference. There's a gospel of the kingdom and there's a gospel of going to heaven. That's why people don't last, because, you know, I can go to Walmart up here and I can get five people to say a sinner's prayer. But in the Bible, I don't see, I'm not saying a sinner's prayer doesn't work. I've done it. I've seen thousands come to Christ. But I just don't believe that that's the there's a better way. There's a better way. But that's for another day. I'm not going to talk about evangelism today. But breaking covenants is what I want to hit on there. When we break a covenant with the Lord, we say, you know, I remember I said a prayer, and I will serve you till the day I die. God holds you accountable for your vows. And when you make oaths, and people make oaths, you make oaths to military, political offices, you have to take oaths, but yet the Bible tells us not to make oaths. And basically, we should not swear by anything. We should just say yay or nay, yes or no, and let your words be few. There are secret societies where people join that, and there's all kinds of secrets. Okay, there, and so there are covenants that people make. You make covenants with your cable company. You know, if you don't pay the bill, they shut it off. You make a covenant with your bank and your car. You think you aren't, but your bank does. And they say basically, okay, you make all the payments, we're okay. But if you break the covenant, what happens? They'll get repo man to come and take the car. Okay? You broke a covenant. So we are covenant breakers. Hosea 8:1 is a good verse. Hosea 8:1 is a good verse about breaking covenants. Because when you break covenants, and especially when you say, I'm a Christian, you know, and Jesus is my Lord, and then you don't represent it. If we could just get ourselves to a place where we look at these areas that I've spoken to you about today, and not just saying, oh yeah, that's all them out there, but look in your own heart today.
Amen.
Do you have idols? Does your mind think in an immoral way? Are you a covenant breaker? And if you've broken a covenant, then only the Lord can forgive you from that. You have to ask Him to forgive you and release you from a covenant that you've made. I have to have to do that rather. But does anybody have it? Do you have 8:1?
Yes. Put the trumpet to your lips. An eagle is over the house of the Lord, because the people have broken my covenant and rebelled against my law.
Yeah. Good verse. So I've been studying the minor prophets. I'm going to wrap things up with this today. Is that in the minor prophets I see the same thing. Idolatry. You read it, you see it. It's all over the place. Baal, Moloch, sexual immorality, bloodshed, broken covenants. It's the same thing all the time. Same thing we see it written in different ways in the New Testament. So I think God is trying to get our attention to that.
Yes.
But as I was reading Amos, the book of Amos, and this is where I'm going to wrap up today, I don't know. I'm not like a mechanical type guy like Michael. Michael's fixed things in my house when he comes up. I'm a ripper-rapper. You want me to rip something down, just I'm the guy. I'll pick the wall out. But if you want me to fix something, I'm going to break it. You know, one time, I'll tell you a story. One of the churches I was pastoring, I said, man, somebody got to come and look at these pipes. I said, this is crazy. And they're like, no, we want to save money. You know, the church doesn't have the money, and, you know, why don't you fix it yourself? And I said, me? And they said, yeah, you fix it yourself. And I said, you know what? I'll try. It's out of my league. So I got some coaching. They said, what you need to do is you need to take it off, put this bolt, this nut on, put a washer in, and put a new pipe. And they said, and then you take a wrench and you just squeeze it.
No.
You keep going till it won't go anymore. So, yeah. So anyhow, I go in there and I'm going. And I just kept doing it. Next thing I hear, I wrapped the hot and the cold water like this all the way up.
Oh, my God.
So I ruined all the plumbing. They had to have a master plumber come in. I just kept going. I never looked under. I was just going. I'm telling you, the hot and hot and the cold were like going. It was like totally ruined. So I'm a ripper out. But when you want to know the plumb line, Michael could probably tell you more about the plumb line. The plumb line, all I know about the plumb line is that you would hang this off. It's on a string. And basically it tells you that the room is centered and the walls are straight.
Amen.
And God says in Amos, and He says it in a couple of places, He said, I'm hanging a plumb line over my
right.
people.
Amen.
And basically God is trying to say today to all of you today,
And I say to you, are you centered in the Lord right now?
Amen.
Are you centered in the Lord right now? God is putting a plumb line over His church and His house. You know why? Because He's coming back soon.
Amen.
Yeah. With judgment.
Yes.
We need to repent.
Amen.
1 Peter 4:17 says, judgment begins with those in the house of God. See, we're going to be the example in the last days.
Mm-hmm.
So,
doing us first.
Yeah, we're going to get it done.
Yeah.
So, are you centered in the Lord? Are you straight? Are you in alignment? Are you with the right people you need to be with?
Amen.
Because a step before you actually get released in assignments. Many times we do assignment without alignment. We need to be aligned with the right people in the right place. But God, you said today, return to me. And ask people of God, when you pray, you know that you should be praying about these four things. You see them out throughout the New Testament as well. These are the biggest strongholds keeping America back in the world. Back. Let's stand together this morning. I have to get a drink of water here.
While he's drinking his water, let me make one addition. In the cloud the size of a man's hand, in the hearing of the sound of the abundance of rain, part of the wrap-up of this launch into the rehydration of the earth was Elijah basically calling for a showdown of the 450 prophets of Baal and the 400 prophets of Ashtaroth. In other words, he said to Ahab and to Ahab's guys, go get the best and the brightest and tell them to meet me up on the hill. And they all gathered up, and Elijah threw down a gauntlet. He said, showdown. He said, we're going to prepare an altar. We're going to put the sacrifice on the altar. And then you guys go first. You pray to all of your gods. And after you've done your deal, then I'm going to go. And I'll pray to my God. And the God who answers by fire, He is the God. He is the true God. That is the true God. Well, as it goes on, important details include after these 850 prophets. Now, I'm saying this to say that this cutting off of these four things also must include our willingness to cut off the voice of the false prophets.
Amen.
And the house of the Lord is being influenced every day by voices that are contrary to the voice of the Lord.
Amen.
And so, 850, do your best. Do your best. After they had done all that they could do, no fire. Come on. No fire.
Mm-hmm.
They did their best. No fire.
Amen.
And Elijah said, okay. You guys have had your turn. Time for me to have my turn.
Amen.
But before Elijah took his turn, listen to what he did. He said, hey, get four barrels of water. Wait a minute. Water?
Come on, the word.
Water?
The word.
Where's the water? It hadn't rained and it hadn't dewed for 3.5 years. Water's the most precious substance in the earth. Get four barrels of water and pour it on the altar. Pour it on the sacrifice. They did. Do it again. Do it again. 12 barrels of water, pouring out the most precious substance, pouring it out, offering it up, sacrificing the most precious part. And then Elijah said, all right, God, come on. We've made a place for you. Now come on. And God answered by fire, and when he did, he burned up the sacrifice. He burned, Elijah built an altar, by the way. He also built an altar. He repaired the altar of the Lord. Fire came, consumed the sacrifice, consumed the wood, and the scriptures of King James said, licked up all of the water that was that the trenches around this whole thing was full of. Now, here's why this is important. And I wanted to say it before Dan continues. False doctrine needs to be cut off. It's an idol. Doctrine that caters to your comfort, my comfort, because we've become creatures of comfort.
All right.
That's a false prophet doctrine. It needs to be cut off. See, when the fire came down and consumed everything, Elijah said, now you've seen the manifestation of the God who answers by fire. He is a true God. Then he turns and said, kill every one of them. Don't let one single one of them escape. So I'm saying to you today, this is my addendum. Don't let one single one of them escape. Get after them. Root them out. Anything that produces compromise in you, anything that generates fear in you, anything that causes you to doubt the authenticity of the authority of Jesus in your life as your Lord and Master, cut it off. Cut it off. Root it out. Get rid of it. Don't let it continue to cause you to halt between two opinions.
If
God is God, serve God. No half measures. No stutter steps. Full on. Going for it. Amen?
Amen.
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 Well, just thank you. Thank you guys for... I apologize that I'm so tired.
No apology required.
No.
It's been great, Dan.
But
really, really good.
As Michael was talking, I had last week kind of like a short vision of an octopus. And I kept thinking, but Michael said you got to cut it off with tentacles being attached and wrapped around people. And we need to cut those things off and break the attachments.
Amen.
So, because God is bringing us together because we are going to be an example to the world.
Yes.
God's going to put us on display. It's our time.
Amen.
And Michael, when Michael was talking about passage, I was actually considering sharing that word, which is really interesting, in the 2 Kings 7, was when they went back, they went to the enemy's camp, and they took back what was rightfully theirs.
That's right. Yeah.
So all I'm telling you is we've lost ground. Ephesians 4:27, give no place to the devil.
Right.
That's the Greek word topos, where we get the word topography. So I'm sharing with you is, we can actually, as God's leading us, go into the enemy's camp and take the ground back. So that's got to be our heart.
Amen.
Our heart can't be, God, just destroy everybody. And, you know, because he's going to do what he's going to do. It's inevitable. But we've got to have a heart of compassion, trying to reach
Amen.
As many people as we can
Amen.
Before he comes back. But again, thank you today. It's an honor to be with you. And your grace and peace be multiplied.
Thank you.
One more thing. Dan said he didn't feel to talk about evangelism, but I know that this is a man that has a gift. You know, when Jesus ascended up on high, he gave gifts to people, and to some he gave apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastor and teacher. I know this man to be such a one that God has given evangelist to. God gave evangelist to this man. Evangelist wasn't given to him for him, it was given to him for the body.
Yes.
So part of what I'll be talking to Dan more about while he's here, is praying for an impartation of his grace, his anointing. And I didn't beg Daryl and Lucretia to come, but I really urge them to come today, if at all possible. In part because, certainly, Lucretia, always good to see you. But Daryl, evangelist. I see it. I've spoken to Daryl on multiple and numerous occasions about evangelists. And I would say, the gift of fivefold gift of evangelism doesn't grow over time. The person who the gift lives in grows over time. So you know better how to function in it.
Amen.
But it's the full package. You get the full load. There's no upgrade coming to the gift. You got the pristine and perfect and complete gift. So I'm watching Daryl recently share very, very briefly and quickly youth camp. What happened?
Well, the youth camp, there's been like three of them.
Sure.
The first one, I was just there to share my testimony at VBS, and that led to them asking me to come again to speak at a church youth camp a couple months later, so it was like last week. And man, it was just like a whole bunch of kids, like 20 of them, I gave their life to the Lord, and I'm like burning right now. It was amazing, and just the compassion and the looks on their faces, you know, knowing that, you know, what they're going through. I've been there, and it's okay to express how you feel, and just to let them know that they're not alone. You know,
yeah.
Let them know that, you know, what Jesus did for us, he did for me, and he did for them as well. To let them know that, hey, he has you. You're covered. And it was this one girl, everything that she went through from, you know, a lot of stuff, it reminded me of my wife, and I said, hold on. So I called my wife over, and it's like they jailed just like this, and I was just like, and it was amazing. I mean, I actually have two more gatherings to speak at coming up in the future, the youth explosion and another youth camp, a lock-in, and just pray for me on that, man. And I mean, I'm not resisting.
Amen.
Whatever he wants me to do for him, I surrender. I'm not my own anymore. I've lived my life, and I just want to do what he wants me to do.
Yeah. Yeah. So what's your name again?
Daryl. Thank you.
Kendall, do you have a word for
him? No, I'm just...
Okay.
Yeah.
So, Dan's here. Daryl. God has raised and is raising Ross up. And Ross is sharing the gospel, and he's seeing people come to Christ, and there's some power evangelism that's attending Ross, a grace for power evangelism. He's seeing some real fruit, real signs, wonders, miracles, people coming to Jesus in the new birth. This is we've come together in this composite, and it would be irresponsible of us not to recognize what's happening. And so I'm going to be talking to Dan more about releasing a greater impartation, because this is, see, evangelist was never intended to be housed in a few good men or a few good women, or here and there, a little sprinkling. Evangelist was intended to be diffused throughout the entire body.
Yes.
Same thing's true with apostle, prophet, pastor, and teacher. So I wanted to recognize the move of evangelism that's happening around us and among us, and certainly in a request for you guys to remember their faces and pray for them. But in addition to that, part of this sound of the abundance of rain are people coming into the kingdom. Every raindrop represents a person. Every raindrop represents, potentially, represents a nation. So, Ross?
Yeah, I just wanted to say something that goes along with the octopus thing that you said. And you talked about cutting it off. And the first thing that came to my mind was any tree, that any limb that doesn't bear fruit will be cast into the fire. But we have the perfect sword to cut that thing off.
Yes.
Well, we have to understand that if we're dealing with those octopus tentacles, our swords are nowhere sharp. It says that his sword is sharper than any tentacle. So, like, in that, we have power over literally anything. I'm almost under the I'm almost totally convinced that a bad day is actually just demonic for a Christian. It's really just demonic for anybody, and they don't really, it doesn't matter if they believe it or not, but we actually have all power over that stuff. And I was just sitting in work, and you know, I work with drug addicts, and the great thing about the gospel is it just works. You know, you don't have to, you really don't have to make it, you don't have to twist it, but if you do not know how to use the sword and be the sword, you will never prosper. Me and Dan were talking about this last night in different words, but we basically said, you know, don't try to, when I've been going out and getting words of knowledge and seeing, like, blindness leave and people's legs grow out, and it's just been awesome, sometimes you can get in the tendency to want more, and it's, you know, more is not always what's best. Sometimes, I mean, the great thing about the gospel, it's short and sweet. You know what I mean? You know what I mean? It's simple. Because everybody needs to understand it, so you don't have to necessarily manifest something. You just let him manifest it for you, and you be the vessel. And in that, there is more knowledge and more, like, satisfaction that can be gained than actually building something of your own. But, gosh, I just really see, like, a baptism of fire coming over this generation. Like, crazy, and that's what has to happen, because I've been going to churches back and forth, and the Lord's just leading me to play. I'm just taking a ton of notes. A lot of it's just so twisted, and especially this grace stuff. I mean, how often as a body are we going to really sacrifice what Jesus said and just pretend and really just worship a false god? I mean, just to be real, it's about 80% of the body that is just totally twisted. Yeah. You know, the Lord gave me a vision of a body that was mangled and deformed. He said, this is what my body looks like, and it needs healing. But if you look at the stuff, I mean, Jesus said, if you even lust after a woman, you commit adultery. That's amazing. But if you do it in your own strength, it will never be done. It won't. Because we actually, when people say, oh, I'm just human. Oh, I'm just this. No, you're not. You're wall-to-wall Holy Ghost.
That's right. That's right.
So you've got a sword to slay demons. You've got a sword that cuts through bone marrow. I mean, it's nuts. And we serve the Most High God. I went to a psychic's the other day, because the Lord led me there. And I wasn't necessarily sure what all I was going to say. I just knew that somebody was suffering depression and they needed the gospel. So I was like, let's go. And we went, and I knocked on, and, you know, I walked into something. and I was like, hey, how are you? She couldn't even look at me.
That's right.
That's how he's doing. But here's the thing. And I was just like, hey, God bless you. And she's running, and everybody's like, what is this? And I was like, hey, you want me to step outside? I'll wait for you. Because, you know, God's not going to force himself.
That's right.
So you just really be loving. And I was like, I waited outside. And she was like, yeah, do whatever. And I was like, she's like, hey, what do you need? And she's kind of looking down. And she's not really sure to look at my eyes. And I just like, hey. And I kind of pierce my way into the door. Because it's just, I feel like this pull, like more. You know what I mean? And, I mean, you know, the devil is actually just a kitten with a megaphone. You know what I mean? But we serve a lot. You know what I'm saying? So what we can do is, what I did, I was like, hey, somebody's really struggling with depression here. I just really felt led to pray for somebody. And she was like, well, I don't know. I don't know. And I was like, oh, it's you.
Yeah.
And it's you struggle with anxiety, too, and you have a sister. Is that right? She's like, I don't know, and I wasn't really sure what to do. But so I was just like, well, hey, peace to you and your family. Jesus loves you. And the fear that went over her as soon as I said that was unbelievable. And I just gave her a hug. She looked like the hug was like made of acid. Like she would, it was crazy. But the good thing about the gospel is it's like bleach. It just comes in and cleans it all up.
Yeah.
So, you know, anything that's twisted or demonic, it has to go because you are, it's like mixing. But you have, if you, Papa and I were talking about this, if you have a cup of water that has just a few drops of sewage in it, would you drink it?
That's right.
Don't drink it. Just have pure water. And really ask for all the gifts to walk into, because we actually have what Paul says, every spiritual gift. So we just go in and we manifest, and we, you know, I've gotten to the point where I was just reading Job, and it says the Bible, Job was talking about how the earth hangs on nothing, and it's a sphere, and nobody else predicted that. I've gotten to the point where it's just not in the Bible, I just reject it.
Amen.
Yeah. Because it's, it can't be proven wrong. It's constantly scientifically backed up. Mm-hmm. If you actually do your research, and if you're just not an arrogant person who wants to believe their own thing, you'll find the truth. Not hypocrite. But anyway, I just say that we have an awesome sword to cut any of this stuff down, so we can clean it all out.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you.
Well, you can see that's just that's so watch this.
There you have it.
Pray for us.
It's all first got this for Zoom right before his 21st birthday. And for that February 19th. So February, March, and half of April, I said, of course, you live with us, and I said, well, I feel persecuted. All of us. I'm not a bad person, I promise you. I know, but okay. And now it has moved, not persecution, he provokes me.
Amen.
Every single day. And Dan, what he was provoking me about yesterday, you preached about today, and all I could think of was, I have to give up news. I have to.
Oh my gosh!
I come out with my opinion. I meet Misty for the first time, and in a matter of minutes, I'm telling her about this incident that happened to me that was disturbing to me. Okay, out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth.
Right.
I really wasn't speaking about the Lord. Not that it was anything wrong with what I shared, and she actually helped me so much in a matter of minutes. She was totally not moved, but she just said, well, it's really about identity and who you are, who we are, and I'm, okay, I know that. But I needed to hear it.
Right on.
And immediately, I mean, I just thought, you know, God knows the end from the beginning.
Yes.
And if we can get high enough to see his perspective.
Yes.
There's an end to it.
Good.
But it's already ordained and foretold. Our job is to just trust him.
Amen.
And it settles me. But it also located me. I mean, I said to her later, gosh, I hardly know you, and I'm telling you this story that was so. Because I realized I was still, I hadn't really trusted God.
We're struggling.
Yeah, we're
still struggling.
And so I don't want to meet you for lunch and talk about politics. I just don't want to do it anymore.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
I don't want to meet you for coffee and talk about, and I care about your children. I mean, I'm happy to do that. But if we get too far off who we really are and what we're really about.
Yes.
Yeah.
It doesn't bring life.
That's right.
And I am going to be 70 years old in a second.
Wow.
I've got lots of time yet to live.
Amen.
I want to do it really.
Down with the fluff.
Exactly.
Yes. Amen.
So I really appreciate you all for living with me and provoking me every single day. And I'm so thrilled. I think God is so amazing. And Michael opened today the same. Dan came from Pennsylvania, Misty came from Michigan. You guys came from Leesville. Y'all came from Mississippi. Y'all came from Texas. It was, I just thought, what an awesome God.
Yes. Indeed.
Yes.
Well, Lord, we love you.
Yes.
And we have truly made a place for you. And this place is mobile. It's not a fixed asset.
Yes.
It's mobile. The place that we've made is in our heart, in our mind. In the days coming up, cause us to remember.
Yes.
Cause us to be aware. Cause us to be circumspect about our life, our calling, our election. As we go forth, we don't go from here back to our normal life.
Yes.
We don't have any other life.
Yes.
Lord, you are our life.
Yes.
In you, we live and move and have our being. So I'm asking, Lord, to refresh our minds. Wash us with the washing and the renewing of the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
And remind us of who we are.
Yes.
Let us hear your word, hear your voice.
Yes.
Follow the voice of the shepherd and not be moved to follow any other voice. The voice of the stranger. We refuse to follow the stranger's voice.
Yes.
Bless each one. May the journey be one that is such that victory meets us with every step. May we constantly be aware of you and your presence, hearing your voice, discerning what's around us, and functioning as you've created and caused us to be called to function. Thank you for Dan and Darlene. Bless them, Lord, with the blessings of heaven and the blessings of the earth. Cause the days of their lives to be like days of heaven upon the earth.
Yes.
Bless these that have come hungering and thirsting for you. And now we've been filled, we have eaten, and we have drunk of your goodness. We bless you in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Amen.
And amen.
Amen.